you just got to be the best version of you. Stop looking at your competition. Like, the reality is, like, at some point, like, if you're looking at somebody else, you're going to trip. And
we've got some sponsors, though, that make this podcast possible. We'll kick it off with Multicraft. You have all heard of Multicraft underscore daddy and his terribly amazing Instagram videos. If you need ink supplies or a daddy, Multicraft screen printing and digital supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with top brands at competitive prices. You can mention the Printavo Pod, receive 10% off your first order, and Dave gives away a free case of PMI tape for every episode. All you have to do is DM him, and he'll pick a new winner every week. We love Dave. He listens to our episodes. He actually listened to our last episode and installed some AI tooling that we had talked about. So Dave, thank you. We love you.
That's so cool. All right, guys, if you want $250, Easy Way is doing a giveaway every single month off this podcast, which is so cool. Go to easyway.com/giveaway and put in your info. Then that enters you to get $250 in product credits. They're doing it every single month, though. So that is really, really cool. Easy Way, they're making reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with their systems, chemicals, and equipment. Plus, they've got some incredible people that can be able to help you and problem solve. And I know, Steven, you shared me some really cool educational stuff that they've got on their website too. So easyway.com/giveaway. Put in your info.
All right. Are you ready to take your custom apparel to the next level? Stahls is the leader in heat printing solutions. Whether you're a small business just starting out or an established brand that's scaling, Stahls makes the hustle easy. They're here so you can simply heat, press, and profit. Get the equipment, transfers, and support your business needs to start smart and stay ahead. We use them for a lot of like patches, a lot of their 3D stuff. They're always coming out with new and improved ways to heat press. So visit Stahls.com today. You can save 20% off your next DTF transfer order using the code HUSTLER. 20. Thanks so much, Stahls.
And we'll be at Stahls' facility in Michigan next week, Detroit suburbs or something. So maybe we should do a pod from there or something. We'll do one after it. Anyway, that'll be pretty exciting. GraphX Source. If you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, GraphX offers industry leading outsourcing options. Campus Inc. runs some number of artists there. I don't know the exact number. Nick's going to text me after, I'm sure. Handling SEPs, mockups, creative work, digitizing, and a lot of back office admin. They've been doing this for over 40 years. They've been around for quite some time. They've got offices all over the place. Pretty big company. And Steven visited one of their offices recently. That was really cool. Use the code PRINTAVOPOD24. That gets you 50% off your first vector, SEP, or digitized order at graphxsource.com. All right, let's jump on in. Mr. Brett Bounds joining us today. Steven's joining us today. I'm joining you guys today. What a fun surprise. Chesterfield, Michigan, the center of where Brett, Steven, and I shared one queen bed. At the Stahls warehouse opening. What a really cool event. Stahls was opening a new fulfillment facility called SF1 that was powered by Fulfill Engine, their print on demand software. We got to really see what they're doing behind the scenes, meet a ton of the team. That's the first time I met a ton of the team, including Ted Stahls and Carlene, like everybody that was helping to put this thing on. Also, sing some of Ted Stahls's insanely awesome vintage car plus automated violin collection. Pretty wild. We'll talk about it all, but yeah, it was pretty cool.
So we got invited. Stahls sponsor the podcast, and they asked us to come to see their new like SF1 facility because they've, you know, they bought Fulfill Engine and they're really moving in the print on demand space and the software space. And so Bruce is like, let's go. And I was like, all right, fine. And it was a quick flight from Chicago, and I didn't think anyone else was really going.
Yeah, it wasn't super... I also did not know who was going to be there.
And then there was a private party at the yacht club, and on Brett's Instagram, he's in Step Brothers yacht attire, like the Catalina wine mixer. And I was like, Brett's at a yacht. Shit, Brett's here. And I was like, wait, we have a friend. And then the next day we show up and it's Kevin Oakley was there. And all of a sudden it turned into this little reunion. And it was a pretty special, special couple of days.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I also didn't know who would be there. And so running into people was pretty exciting. There's also a lot of really great people that I met, like a lot of people that I have never met in the industry were there. So that was really special too. And I think it's a kind of a testament to who Stalls is as a company. 3 years ago, I didn't understand Stalls as a company. I thought they just made heat presses, and that is just one of very many things that they do. They're a great family-owned, I guess, 93-year-old family-owned company with a beautiful history that I've just been kind of learning more and more about every year.
Yeah. And by the way, that really struck me that they're 93 years old. I mean, what company do you know is almost 100 years old that you can have a close relationship with? And also, like, what would you, it made me think about what would you want to spend time on for your life, like to build, right? Because they started in 1930 something. I think it was, his name was A.C. Stalls, was the first person that was making the letters and stuff to be able to put on. That was their whole niche. But like, that was during World War II. Like the beginning of World War, you know what I mean? Like, this is kind of crazy for a company to have lasted that long and for each family generation to want to continue to iterate on it and continue to grow it that way. That blew me away.
It's wildly impressive. Their revenue isn't public. I don't know what it is. I bet you it's, I don't know, I'm going to take a guess, close to $1 billion maybe. For a company to be privately held for that long in one family's name means like they're doing something really well. And I think when we kind of went there, you know about Stalls from their website, you know about vinyl transfers, you know, patches. But then you started to learn like under the hood, like Ted really worked on the heat press and wanted to bring that in domestically and make that, you know, affordable in every shop and was working on that. It almost reminded me of Riley Hopkins' story, who's also a car guy, right? And like, I don't know if he was doing that in the 70s, but to bring that manufacturing in. And then start to move into other categories, like they own Transfer Express, they bought TKO, the emblem patch company, right? So like they're making these like bets, and each one of the bets that they're making just seems like really smart. You're like, oh, that's super smart. And this newest bet that they're taking is in software and really saying like, how do we get into the print on demand automation industry completely? So it's almost cool to see them just like evolving each chapter and each generation of their business.
Yeah, I think that they obviously understand like that there's been a little bit of a hole in like the software piece of it. And Jason, who developed Fulfill Engine, created a really great way to fulfill online stores and get those orders to print providers. And they saw that opportunity, and basically, I guess it not only created really great software for to connect to online stores, but also an opportunity to create a space for their partners who are printers.
I was going to say, I think they understood that the industry was shifting to print on demand and heat applied, and they like doubled down on that. I think Carlene said at ThreadX, I have not seen a tidal wave of DTF like this. Like, I've seen different industry changes. I haven't seen anything this extreme. And so it's like they saw something. And then I think what they realized is print on demand management is super hard. Like, Printavo is not built for print on demand fulfillment, right? Like, Bruce, you've always said like, that's not what we do. And so like, I think they saw that, and then they saw a new Bruce evolving, and they're like, wait, this is kind of our ticket to completely.
Jason is the new Bruce.
Jason is the new Bruce.
He's
the print on demand. He's Pod Bruce. But they were a small business, and they're like, we're just going to invest a ton into this. And it's crazy to see how quickly Fulfill Engine is sort of taking the industry by a storm and like connecting all of these different dots. I mean, Brett, have you dabbled in print on demand and fulfillment? And
Graphics Pro Charlotte. November 6th through 8th, it is coming. Discover the latest technology and profit opportunities at Graphics Pro Charlotte. So if you're on the East Coast or if you happen to be over there, this is a great expo to go to. They've got new revenue streams in signage, apparel, decoration, personalization, and more to be able to share. Tons of suppliers are going to be there. And you can start early too. So if you're there November 5th, they've got two exclusive workshops, Stalls Pro Day and Digital Technology Group's How to Start and Scale Profitable Print Business. You could grab some of those best practices, especially if you're getting started in your shop. Help save a lot of time there. So whether you're in screen printing, embroidery, or engraving, Graphics Pro is where you go to grow your business. Use that code though, HUSTLERS, all caps, HUSTLERS, and that gets you free registration for the event. All right, back to the episode.
We do fulfillment, and we have a lot of like bands and clothing lines that we inventory their product, but it's product they've already paid for. So we're kind of just acting like a 3PL over there. And then we have like some on-demand stores for a couple like smaller bands, but it's not some, obviously we can't do that as good as like Printful or a Redbubble or a company like that. And so it's kind of a fun thing that we can do for some of our friends, but it's not very efficient. And I actually went down to Charlotte and hung out at US Colorworks, which is kind of the beta site for Fulfill Engine, and just watched the software and watched what it does and to see how it connects from the online store to the decorator. And it's pretty impressive. It's really cool to see how they do it. I'm kind of curious to see more about all the things that can connect to it. Like obviously there's other store platforms like Order My Gear or Chipley that can connect to Fulfill Engine to be the provider of the product. And then also like for me as a decorator, as Printed Threads, the ability to say, okay, like I'm gonna sell shirts in this web store. I'm gonna print those shirts from the web store. But I want to be able to sell mugs too. And I don't make mugs. So, but like if I put them on this site that's connected to Fulfill Engine, Fulfill Engine will find a provider that will make the mug for me and then ship that to the customer when they're ordering it. So like I'll ship the shirt from here, they'll ship the mug, and then the customer gets the products from the store. So I think that that's like a really interesting way of doing things. And then not only is it like, I think what we went to see was like everything under one roof, which basically SF1 has every print capability that Fulfill Engine offers all under one roof. So it's almost like a showroom. I don't know that they're going to be doing a crazy amount of fulfillment out of there as much as this being able to show how the process works. So that if you have a customer that's interested in doing these online stores and they're a big customer that does a lot of volume, you say, hey, let's fly to Detroit together. Let's go check out the SF1 facility. This is what will happen if you come online with us.
And what Carlene was saying is they are doing some in-house. Majority is being subbed out through the Fulfill Engine network. So as in other print-on-demand providers connected into Fulfill Engine that are being able to handle the subcontracted work. But yes, they have some equipment that they try to do in-house, which seems also like partially some cool R&D stuff, which we'll talk about. And then also, and then others, you know, they've got like Rock Now, which is this huge, you know, oval DTG base unit. They've got DTF, a lot of transfer work, a lot of heat pressing going on, obviously. Direct embroidery, they had some, was it like 30 heads or something like that?
Single head Ricomas, yeah.
And so all of those are being able to handle a small percentage of work that you can get done through Stalls, and then the rest is being subbed out to other decorators that will ship it to you. But yeah, that was what the facility is in a nutshell. But I want to really highlight that the cool tech stuff, which was you guys saw the liquid 3D thing, right? Like that was pretty insane. So I guess what they bought is a 3D printer. So I looked at the label. The label is like an actual prototyping 3D printer that's used for, you know, all right, we want to test sunglasses or how would this fit or what would this product look like? they have been working tirelessly, a couple of years actually to mention, to be able to use this product on apparel. So how would it stick to apparel? So it prints a 3D, you know, emblem, for example, and I've got a picture here. I'll pop up if you're on YouTube. It prints a 3D emblem on a pair, on a felt that can then be heat applied onto a hat or I believe it's a tote bag or something right now. So anyway, you get a pretty cool effect. I mean, this one I thought was...
That looked like fabric, and that's actually like hard when you push it and you touch it. And MOQ of one, right? Which is kind of wild. I think that costs like $8.
It's maybe a little bit more expensive than like a general normal patch, but it looks super cool. I think the biggest thing is it takes them a really long time to make them. So they got to keep the price high just to cover the cost of the time.
Bruce, what else to you? You've been through a lot of shops. What else was really impressive about the facility that surprised you or you're taken back by? Because I didn't know what to expect walking into there.
Yeah. I mean, every print on demand shop I've been to is very scanning driven. And I thought that was very cool. So, you know, it's all the way down to quantity orders of one, right? So all the garments come in maybe a cased box. So they're trying to gang stuff together and place it to make it easier. Now, you know, all of the, when you scan the PO, for example, all of the labels come out for each individual garment and it says what it is. And then it gets stuck on the corner. And I've got a photo of that, which, you know, takes some time and kind of crazy too. Now that label is then scanned throughout the facility in the different stations. So what I thought was pretty neat is even like the embroidery side. I think this was fun to show. The embroidery side was like scanned in there, pulls up the design, then you scan on the machine. It tells you what machine to go to based on the threads that it knows that it has the colors, because there's only whatever 18 spools that it can hold. And so it has to pull up the closest color, the color that matches it, and loads the design, and you can be able to use it right away. And this is like a little tag. So obviously, if you've been to a print-on-demand facility, you've seen these kinds of things, but that, I like seeing that kind of stuff. That's kind of cool.
It also showed me what I don't want to do. I don't know, Brett, if you had that.
What was
like, I looked around and I was like, I don't want this. and we do some print on demand in house. We do DTF on demand for three different SKUs, and that's all we do. But we sub everything out. And I think this mindset of bring everything in house, do it all yourself, figure out a way to do it. I think the tune has changed a little bit to like, wait, there's a company that I can connect to that'll do mugs. Sweet. There's a company that'll do print on demand embroidery, MOQ of one. Sweet. Right. And so a lot of it was actually, and they said this, like, this is your home. You can bring clients into here. And Jason and Josh said this, like, the power of the network is only as good as everyone in here. And so it was a very collaborative conversation because we had, I think they have a company that does custom wrapping paper, like just the wildest. And I was like, wrapping paper, whoa. So it actually showed me what I don't want a little bit and how I'd rather just leverage them. I don't know, Brett, if you felt.
I think that's kind of you. They're saying like you can, if you're the jack of all trades, you're the king of none. You know, it's like, what can we be really good at? And when you're, it's a completely different business doing print on demand. Like you have to sort your shirts differently. You have to order differently. You have to, everything changes. And so if you have a partner that you can rely on to just be like, hey, you guys do the onesie twosie things, I'll do the, you know, 100, 200 things or whatever that is. I think that's really great because it's really hard to be profitable doing two completely different things because you're managing your budgeting for time very specifically over here. And then when one of the people over here goes and helps over here, then suddenly like you're losing money because it's even like the idea of like having a retail print shop versus a contract print shop. You can't very well do both because you're paying a higher premium to do the custom stuff than you are the contract stuff. So I don't know. I think it's a really great way of creating a partnership. They also like serve our industry. So they're actively looking for partnerships for people that are really good at doing the print on demand stuff, which is not, you know, like, I don't want to be good at that. I'm just going to say it. We haven't bought a DTF machine for printed threads because, like, I don't want to have to hire a digital print technician. Like, I don't want to do all of those things. And that costs a lot of money to do. So I'm happy to have partners that do things extremely well, and we'll work with the ones that do it the best.
Yeah, that is a really good point, actually. To see a company, like, it's easy to, oh, let's try this, let's try that. But to see a company who has scaled a new service or an offering and what it entails, you're like, oh, wait, yeah, that's a completely different business. It's like, you know, many shops pivoting or trying warehousing, right? And fulfilling. And it's like, oh, okay, at scale, this is what, like, if we continue down this road, this is what this looks like. And do I now want to be a part of this or not?
Are we a printing company, or are we a creative agency, or are we a logistics company? Like, what are we? You know, it's like an identity crisis.
And I feel like if you were to talk to, like, Brett or Justin, or, you know, Justin at Barrelmaker, Justin Lawrence, or Kevin from Stokedown, or Dom, they've made all of the mistakes, right? Like, we tried to get into this and we couldn't do it. And so then we had to connect to a different 3PL, or we tried to bring embroidery in-house and we couldn't do it. And so you'll actually hear a lot of them through their growth stories of the mistakes of getting into new services. And what I noticed, Brett, like a lot of you guys do, like, you guys are all like mature business owners now. You say no to more and you're like super laser focused, because I think it's probably just battle wounds. And so I think, like, small shops listening to this, if you can leverage another network today, especially in 2025, you reduce so much risk, and the thrill is actually nicer because you make money versus the thrill of trying to fix a DTF machine or something like that, right? And so I think Steven 7 years ago would be like, I can't wait to build this someday. Now it's like, F no.
I know. I think that, like, I mean, I still get bored and obviously start other projects, which but I'm tired. Like, I am tired. I'm, you know, mid 40s, like, changes you. It's funny, like, starting a company in your 20s and just having so much energy and life is different. And now I just, like, you know, like, I want to get to the point where, like, I don't want to work 12 hours a day anymore. Like, and sometimes I have a hard time finding motivation to do the things that I'm supposed to be doing every day as it is. So certainly going in and seeing all these new things and saying, like, man, like, is this the focus, or should we be good at that? Or should you keep doing? And, you know, we have to, like, there's also, like, the innovate or die. Like, I'm not stupid enough to say, like, oh, I'm not going to learn AI because I'm a, you know, want to be whatever, challenge the future. So, like, we're always innovating and trying to get better and that type of thing. It's just focusing on, like, what we can be good at versus, like, bringing in things that are distractions.
A couple of my takeaways, a few extras. Stalls has invested a lot into this. I was just looking around thinking the square footage, the equipment. I mean, that Rock Now DTG unit doesn't look cheap, and I mean, it looks fancy, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there. People were very busy working on it all. Huge amount of team. The building is brand new. So I was like, wow, okay. So Stalls definitely views this as a long-term direction. That's interesting to note. I do think, like, what a great sales tool as well. You know, inviting people in person to come hang out for a day and a half, to see something, a service offering, a software solution, whatever that you're trying to sell, and build that rapport with people. That's such an incredible way to be able to think about sales and marketing. The other thing that hit me was order standardization, I think, is going to be important longer term. And I know there's companies like Orderdesk and some others, but, like, how do you one-click plug-and-play systems together so that orders flow across systems, right? So it's like, okay, you know, Printavo's, you know, plays well in the wholesale bulk side. Fulfill Engine's great on the print-on-demand side. You've got all these, you know, you got InkSoft and Norma Gear and Shopify and all these store solutions, you know, creating order flow, different ways of fulfilling and shipping and all this stuff. It's like, eventually it seems like there's got to be like a something in the center, which is like, it synthesizes all the order data so it could be easily sent between all these different systems. People have tried to do either through Excel or in importing and exporting or through Zapier, but it's always a little bit janky. And so anyway, that was the last piece. And then, well, the final one was the 100-year thing again. I was just like, wow, to be able to work on something for 100 years and then be able to build a card collection off of it, pretty cool.
I can't remember if it was you talking to Carlene or who it was, but she said they have something like a dozen engineers, like software engineers working for them. And so they're obviously like working really hard to make their software better every day. Being able to have a facility like that to understand how everything is working and to be able to test things and make things better, I think is that it's a huge investment into making their software better.
Yeah. And I think like if you follow them on LinkedIn, they just did something in an MLB stadium where they did like print on demand jerseys for the MLB. Stalls is the one that does the NFL draft. And if you ever see, there's like a video where they actually have to like create transfers for every player for every team that they possibly could be on. And they have to make the jersey within like minutes or something. But I think Stalls has sort of taken this position of like opening up their doors and finding ways to collaborate. And so like we might not buy DTF from them, but we're going to buy, you know, patches. We might use Fulfill Engine for this. And I think that's something that Jason has done and Josh has done a really good job of saying like, this is collaborative. We're all going to figure out there's enough for this to go around, which I think is pretty cool. I could definitely feel that tune, which like I didn't feel that a couple of years ago, 3 years ago. I didn't know much about Stalls. So it's pretty cool to see them on stage a little bit.
Yeah, Josh is a really good guy. And it's funny, I've gotten to know him over the last couple of years, and I feel like there's a lot of people in our industry that have been like very territorial, or like, you know, it's always the Ford versus Chevy type conversation. And one thing I've tried to get across to a lot of our suppliers is like, they don't have any idea what competition is like. Like you have like one competitor or two competitors. You know what it's like to own a screen printing shop? You know how many competitors we have? We have thousands. Literally like in the old complex where Printed Threads used to be, there were three screen printing shops. So it was, and we were the one in the back. So it's like, how do we compete against that? And so you just got to be the best version of you. Stop looking at your competition. Like the reality is like at some point, like if you're looking at somebody else, you're going to trip, and you need to be focused on making your company the best it can be. And I feel like that's something that Stalls has really done, is like, there is no competition for what they're doing. They're doing something completely different, you know?
Well, thanks Stalls team for inviting us out. We appreciate you. We'll borrow some of the cars, Ted, if you're listening to this anytime. We'll make it up to Chesterfield again. And Print Hustlers, we appreciate you guys being able to join us. And we'll see you at Print Hustlers Conf. Head to madelab.io to grab your tickets. All right. See you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications. If you enjoyed this video, if you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.